skepticism. It's a word that has to do with a questioning attitude or a doubting perspective on the world around you. And today I want to read a story about a skeptic. Maybe more than a skeptic, but we'll get into that in a minute. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of John, if you will. Chapter 1. Now you remember last week I mentioned to you that for 2018 we'll be in the book of Mark. The lectionary has us in the book of Mark all year long, and of course on the very second Sunday of the year, of the calendar year, the lectionary pulls in John. Well, if you know just a little bit of information here, lectionary has a 3-year cycle and it goes through the book of Mark and Matthew and Luke. And instead of having a 4th year for the book of John, it just throws John in here and there during times like Advent and Easter and days like today. So the story comes to us from the book of John, even though I promised you we'd be in Mark, chapter 1, 43 through 51. Interesting story for this time in our world that we read today. The next day, Jesus went to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, Jesus, Joseph's son from Nazareth." Nathanael responded, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said about him, "Here is a genuine Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael replied, "Oh, Rabbi, you are God's son. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. I assure you that you will see heaven open and God's angels going up to heaven and down to earth on the human one." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Who's the skeptic in the passage that we read? Nathanael. Nathanael is a skeptic, a critic, a pessimist, a killjoy, a curmudgeon, a buzzkill, a wet blanket, a negative Nancy. His friends are all amazed, you see, and they're excited, and they tell him about this amazing man that they met. He's the one that Israel has been waiting for. The one whom Moses spoke about so long ago. The one whom the prophets prophesied about. This is the one, the answer, the Messiah. And Nathanael completely puts out their fiery passion about Jesus. "Yeah, right. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Are you kidding me?" And I can imagine that his friends just looked at one another thinking, "Really, Nathanael? Come on, man. Why you got to be so negative? We're talking about the Messiah here. You haven't even met the guy yet. Come on and just give him a chance." So Nathanael begrudgingly agrees. They go off to meet this Jesus character. And when they get close, Jesus calls out, "Hey, there's a real Israelite. A true believer, an honest citizen, a man you can trust." Pretty high praise from Jesus, right? I'd sure love Jesus to come down and say that about me. And Jesus hasn't even met Nathanael yet. Yet he has such high praise to offer for him. Interesting, isn't it? So again, Nathanael responds out of his curmudgeon skeptic self, "Who are you? You don't even know me. Who do you think you are? We haven't even met yet." Nathanael doesn't give Jesus a chance. He puts off his praise like a surly old sourpuss curmudgeon. Can't even take a compliment from a stranger. Kind of pathetic if you think about it. And here is where things begin to get weird. We know people like Nathanael. There's even people in our lives that we have come to expect such negative reactions from, right? But what happens next is just a little odd. Jesus responds with this. "Oh, I saw you sitting over there under that fig tree, you know, before Philip came and found you and called you." And all of a sudden, Nathanael is completely changed. It's like the switch flipped. "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You are the teacher, the king that we've all been waiting for. You are the Son of God that we've been waiting for." What in the world? Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm Philip or one of the other friends, my mouth just dropped. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Really? What just happened? Negative Nancy just flipped into positive Polly. "I just tried to tell you, Nathanael, and I'm your best friend. Jesus didn't even do anything, barely said anything. All he did was say he saw you sitting over there a little earlier, and now all of a sudden you believe him? As negative as you were with me, Nathanael, I expected you to at least ask Jesus for a sign, maybe for a little prophecy or a healing or a miracle or something. Jesus tells you he saw you sitting over there and all of a sudden you're a believer. Really? Why couldn't you just believe me in the first place?" That's how I imagine Philip thinking to himself anyway. Now, a lot of people say that this story is really about showing that Jesus can be trusted. If a skeptic such as Nathanael, who everyone knows to be an honest and trustworthy man, decides to follow Jesus, then Jesus must be for real. You know he's the true Son of God. And I get that from the writer's point of view. But it's a little too simplistic for me. Why did Nathanael all of a sudden believe? What changed his mind? What epiphany did Nathanael have that transformed him from negative Nancy into positive Polly? But that answer isn't here in the book of John. Clearly, Nathanael had some sort of epiphany. We just don't know what it was. We don't know exactly what changed his mind or his heart. But there are two things in this passage that I think are really important that we can see clearly. First, it's how Jesus handles Nathanael. Look at it again. Jesus treats this skeptic with kindness. You might even say over-the-top kindness. And unfortunately, this is not the way folks out there in the world today tend to treat one another. If we really believe that some change is needed, if we really want to change another person's mind these days, you tend to hear name-calling and shaming and defaming and belittling and publicly calling people out in ways that tear down, not build up. And everybody's doing it. Just watch the news. Look at Facebook. Read the newspaper. Some of us are so heavy burdened with all the negativity that's out there in our world today that we don't even want to turn anything on anymore. We're out there diligently searching for those positive stories that make us feel a little bit better about where things are. And it's not like just one group's doing it. It's everybody. Christians and atheists. Rich and poor. White folks and black folks. Men and women. Republicans and Democrats. We're all doing it. It seems to be the way folks from every segment and sector today treat one another. But look what Jesus does. He flatters Nathanael. "Oh, this is a real Israelite." He doesn't lie. He just artfully and beautifully elaborates the truth that he knows about Nathanael. He's down to earth with Nathanael, always respectful to Nathanael, even though Nathanael brought nothing but negativity and doubts and skepticism. He calls Nathanael in to his inner circle of believers. He invites him to come in and see and know him. He welcomes Nathanael in. And he stays positive and meaningful within his relationship with Nathanael until Nathanael is changed. Until Nathanael has an epiphany, a change of heart and mind. And it makes a difference, the way Jesus treats Nathanael, doesn't it? We don't know how. We don't know why. We don't know what Nathanael was thinking. We only know that the way Jesus treats him causes him to change his mind from skeptic, from negative, from saying just almost mean things, to being positive, to recognizing who Jesus was, and to deciding to follow in His way. And I know another holy man who did this kind of thing. Martin Luther King Jr. King, you see, called people in from the best of who they were. He shared a positive vision with the world, even as he stated the sometimes uncomfortable truth. He treated people always and at every time the way he would want to be treated. Respectfully, non-violently, as a person of faith and a child of God. He returned peace when people spewed violence at him. He treated others with dignity even when it wasn't offered to him. And in the end, he changed the hearts and minds of people across these United States of America. King knew that you can't force people to change, but you can treat them well and call them into an epiphany of the heart through respect and dignity and kind words. And King practiced this in everything that he did. But it wasn't easy. And I suspect it was always, not always, easy for Jesus either. In order to act the way that we see Jesus here in this passage today treat Nathanael, and in order to act in the way that Martin Luther King acted, today we, people of the United States, seem to need our own epiphany. We need to change our hearts from this hate-filled way of talking about one another. Every one of us, top to bottom, rich, poor, black, white, all of us. We need to change our minds and decide to act respectfully and with dignity and with integrity, speaking the truth in kind and loving ways that call people in to what is good and what is right. We need to decide that name-calling is wrong and evil and not the way of Jesus. We need to realize that we have more opportunity with one another, more effect on one another, more possibility with one another when we welcome one another, when we invite one another in to see who we really are as a people, when we are kind, when we are loving, and when we are respectful. We need an epiphany that turns everyone from negative Nancy's into positive Polly's. It happened to Nathanael, and it can happen to you and me and everyone as well. It happened because Jesus treated Nathanael a certain way, and you can treat others that way too, and you will find that the negative Nancy's around you will start turning into positive Polly's as well. It's not hard. And if we all take up this cause, I think we'll find the strength that Martin Luther King found one evening in his kitchen when he had his own epiphany of the heart and discovered the strength to forge ahead with his kind, loving, nonviolent movement, which changed all of our hearts and heads and minds. It was an epiphany which he describes through these words, and you can read them on the front of your bulletin with me if you like. At that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced God before, King says. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, "Stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever." Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared. And I was ready to face anything. Brothers and sisters, in these days we need to be ready, like King, to face anything, like Jesus, with love, with respect, with grace, with kindness and dignity, as we call the world around us into the love and to the grace of God, witnessed through His Son, Jesus Christ, whom we see and read today. Will you pray with me? Holy God, More often than not, it seems that the negative voices of the world scream the loudest at us. We pray for those who speak ill of others, who put down, who call names, who see the worst in other people and other places. Lord, sometimes we are the ones being negative. Negative about one another, about different ideas, about different ideals and values. We think that nothing is good. Like Nathaniel, we believe that nothing good can come from a place. And like Nathaniel, we need an epiphany to change our hearts. We need to treat others as we would like to be treated, that they might find their hearts are melted in the beauty and the love of our kindness. For this is the way we see your Son acting at every turn, through every story, through every part of his life and witness and ministry. May we have the strength and the courage to follow him. Amen.